Let's start here.
You could use sassafras to treat toothaches, rheumatisms, swelling, menstrual problems, if you have sexually transmitted infections or bronchitis. Any of these things.
The defeat of the working class in France and the victory of the French bourgeoisie was at the same time a victory of East over West.
For the past 10 years, my co-authors have been finding little bits and pieces of Drepanosaurus fossils all over the place, including two three-dimensionally preserved arms of a Drepanosaurus.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to start here. First up this week is Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine from Maximum Fun. Each week, Dr. Sydney McElroy and her husband Justin peruse old medical records to discover the odd, horrifying, or just plain wrong treatments that doctors have used over the years to treat what ails us. The results are often gross. They'll find elixirs, pills, and procedures that'll make you want to shake your doctor's hand and thank them for what they do. At the beginning of each episode, they make sure to let you know that nothing they say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. But after learning the history of medicine, that likely won't be a problem. Here's a sample from a recent episode of Sawbones, recorded live in Atlanta. Sydney and Justin traveled to the home of Coca-Cola to examine the history of medicinal soda. They explore the origins of Coke as a medical elixir and the history of soda as a treatment for restoring health, energy, strength, and vitality. Oh, and also the cocaine in Coca-Cola might have helped too. Here, Sydney and Justin discover the history of root beer as a cure-all for everything from STDs to toothaches.
The most early root beers had either sassafras or sarsaparilla in them. Sassafras was thought to be a great medicinal plant. That's what it's called. It's called sassafras. for centuries, and it was a cure-all. You could use sassafras to treat toothaches, rheumatisms, swelling, general swelling, menstrual problems, if you have sexually transmitted infections or bronchitis, any of these things. You could treat with sassafras. And so sassafras in root beer was a really great, they were like, hey, now this is a really healthy beverage, and it tastes, I mean, people, I'm sorry. I understand everybody loves root beer. I don't no, get it myself. People love bad. Root beer. People who love root beer, though, really love root beer.
Oh, yeah. They like to show off. Like, oh, you don't, I'll take yours. Like, fine. I don't care.
But the problem is,
have you ever been offered a root beer and it's the only option? And it's like, are you kidding me? I once went to somebody's house and they were like, do you want something to drink? I was like, what do you have? They said, root beer. And I was like, I looked at him, this is what I really said. I'll drink water. No, really, I drink water.
It's unheard of.
I know.
So the problem with sassafras was safrol. So that's an oil that is in sassafras. And probably in small amounts, it's fairly harmless. But they started doing studies on safrol, and they found that when they were injecting larger amounts of safrol into rats, they got cancer. And so there was this big stir. Should we be putting sassafras in beverages? If it's, it's totally unregulated. We have no idea how much. I mean, you could go on a root beer kick and drink gallons of root beer, and then we don't know how much sassafras you got. So they started removing sassafras from beverages. Now, you will find it back today, but that's because we actually have a process where we can take the safrol out of the sassafras. So you can still have sassafras, but that's why it's not in there.
I still don't want any. Thank you for offering.
Sarsaparilla, though, took over as the more ingredient, more found in root beers. And it was also thought to be a cure-all But specifically, it was thought to be helpful for syphilis. So this really helped root beer out. Especially when you consider that we were still dealing with maybe you should inject mercury into your penis because you have syphilis, drinking a root beer.
Yeah, I'll take the root beer. Thank you. No, you know what? I just thought about it. I would still take the needle in my penis. Take that, root beer.
A sample of the podcast Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. Find out more about the weird and wild history of medicine with Sawbones, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Next up, we take a look at some of the most influential individuals in world history. From Art 19, Historical Figures examines the lives and personalities of such luminaries as Albert Einstein, Leonardo da Vinci, and Charlemagne. Each in-depth biographical episode documents the facts you didn't know, the anecdotes you've never heard, and the stories that hide behind these huge historical names. Hosts Carter and Vanessa bring the figures to life, exploring what they were really like and reflecting on the impact they had on the world. This podcast is a new addition to the Podcast Central library, and new episodes are released each week on Wednesday. You can learn more than you ever thought you could about a new historical figure each week. Here's a snippet from a recent episode of Historical Figures, documenting the life and times of writer and philosopher Karl Marx. Carter and Vanessa explore Marx's influences, as well as the writing that earned him exile from multiple countries and eventually stirred a worldwide revolution. Here the two discuss Marx's repeated attempts at sparking a revolutionary overthrow of the bourgeoisie.
But in characteristic nature, the aristocrat's success did not stifle Marx's spirit. He became even more determined to bring about a revolution.
The purposeless massacres perpetrated since the June and October events, the tedious offering of sacrifices since February and March, the very cannibalism of the counter-revolution will convince the nations that there is only one way in which the murderous death agonies of the old society and bloody birth throes of the new society can be shortened, simplified, and concentrated. And that way is revolutionary terror.
It wasn't just in Vienna where the counter-revolution saw its victory. The uprising of the French working class, but a few months earlier, was also easily quashed by the bourgeoisie.
The defeat of the working class in France and the victory of the French bourgeoisie was at the same time the defeat of the middle classes in all European countries, where the middle classes, united for the moment with the people, responded with sanguinary insurrections against feudalism. Naples, Vienna, Berlin. The defeat of the working class in France and the victory of the French bourgeoisie was at the same time a victory of East over West, the defeat of civilization by barbarism. Thus, the liberation of Europe, whether brought about by the struggle of the oppressed nationalities for their independence or by overthrowing feudal absolutism, depends on the successful uprising of the French working class.
It was merely another impassioned statement in his radical newspaper. At the time, Marx probably had no idea that a little over two decades later, his words would be the rallying of the French Socialist Revolution.
But there was still much to be done before then, much of which Marx could not predict.
A sample from Historical Figures from Art 19. Tune in every Wednesday to get a comprehensive crash course on some of the world's most prominent leaders and innovators. Check it out on WVXU's Podcast Central. Our locally produced podcast this week also takes you on a trip to the past to explore a different side of history. Past Time, hosted by paleontologists and fossil enthusiasts Matt Bortz and Adam Pritchard. They explore the creatures of the past, what we know about them, and how we know what we know. Adam and Matt both spend time on archaeological fieldwork, so the fossil record is a main focus of the show. And of course, science isn't limited to old bones, though. Past Time examines many kinds of amazing animals that used to call Earth home, and the physics, chemistry, biology, and geology used to learn about how these animals used to live. From giant dinosaurs to Arctic alligators, there's no telling what new and exciting stuff Past Time will uncover. Here's a sample from an episode of Past Time titled Kingdom of the Monkey Lizard. Adam and Matt discuss the Drapanosaurus, or the monkey lizard. They explore the strange reptile, its peculiar anatomy, and how it lived over 200 million years ago. Here, Adam talks about the process of collecting the fossils of this strange creature and turning them into an accurate model of what the monkey lizard may have looked like.
And so the original scientists set up multiple hypotheses about what those bones could be. They couldn't even agree on the final identities of them. And as with all paleontological discoveries, the call at the end of the papers was, we need more fossils. We need better preserved material of these crazy arms in order to understand what's going on. And
you found them.
Yes. In New Mexico, of all places. I haven't been digging in the north of Italy, although that would be fun.
That would be a blast.
In New Mexico, for the past 10 years, my co-authors have been finding little bits and pieces of Drapanosaurus fossils all over the place, including two three-dimensionally preserved arms of a Drapanosaurus. And I got to take these arms, put them through micro CAT scanners to get three-dimensional models of all the individual bones, and I was able to really intensely look at all the surfaces of how these bones fitted together and compare them with other four-footed animals. This is something you could never do with the original Drapanosaurus because of its crushing.
And the actual specimen, the original Italian one, was basically steamrolled.
When I describe it, I always say I put a penny next to it, and the penny is thicker than the fossil. It's that squished.
And so you're finally able to look at specimens that preserve, like, the surfaces that kind of matched up against other bones this animal actually, like, moved.
Yep. And what's nice is you can compare those with the joint surfaces in other reptiles that lived at the same time, modern animals. And what we were able to determine is that Drapanosaurus does indeed violate the fundamental pattern where you have those two shaft-like bones in your forearm. Instead, the bones run perpendicular to one another. And the ulna bone actually attaches to two super long and slender modified wrist bones, which is, it's just so strange. And it expands the limits of what we think the tetrapod arm is able to evolve.
A sample of Pastime, a podcast on the creatures of the past. You can listen to Pastime and many other fascinating podcasts on WVXU's Podcast Central. As we head to the Thanksgiving holiday and the chart-topping shopping specials, let's take a look at the chart-topping podcasts from the Apple Podcast Chart, courtesy of iTunesCharts.net. In the recent number one list, we find three podcasts. Oprah's podcast version of her TV hit, Super Soul Conversations, hit the top again since debuting with a bullet back in August. Also, the CBC's season 3 of Someone Knows Something continues its number one run. And new to the recent number one category is Majority 54. It's from Crooked Media and features Jason Kander. He's an Army vet from Kansas City and the first millennial elected to statewide office in the U.S. He's traveling the country to help the 54% of us who didn't vote for Donald Trump talk to those of us who did about the most divisive issues in our country. That's the new podcast, Majority 54, debuting at number 2 weeks ago and hitting number 1 last week on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources. NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.